This is Local Views of the News, third time in January 2010. Haiti, of course, is the primary story of the past week. Just one comment here. The news media, with NPR being the biggest offender, insist on using the word looting in practically every report about the earthquake aftermath. Despite that journalistic deception, most people understand that, given the circumstances, grabbing food and clothes out of a crumbled store isn't a crime. It's just survival. But the food was cleaned out on the first day. After that, anything that can be sold or traded is fair game. If you're inclined to believe in doomsday scenarios based on things like the climate or the economy, natural disaster in a place like Haiti is a perfect case study of what happens when the trappings of civilization suddenly fail. The Martin Luther King holiday was observed intently by the news media. Imagine if King or someone like him were still rousing the rabble today. The current president of the U.S. might be much more inclined to deliver on all the hope that's been invested in him. Despite that awkward political wisdom expressed by Harry Reid, the progressive white voters who got behind Obama a year ago might be wishing right now they'd invested that hope in a dark-skinned candidate with a Negro dialect. The voters of Massachusetts punctuated that dissatisfaction with the president this week by electing a Republican to the U.S. Senate seat, which has been the personal property of the Kennedy family for 60-some years. This figures into another popular media deception, the one about how it takes 60 votes to pass a bill in the U.S. Senate. It takes 60 votes to get the opponents of a bill to shut up, but no bill in history ever has been blocked by a filibuster for more than a couple of days. The lack of the 60th vote, however, provides a convenient excuse for the Democrats to deny the voters a proper health care reform and all the other things they thought they were supporting in the last election. Maybe the most fascinating story this week is Google trash-talking with the government of China. It's too early to tell who the losers might turn out to be, but this little incident signals important changes on three or four different levels. The most obvious conclusion available for jumping is that Google, with its carefully cultivated image as one of the world's great corporate good guys, is striking a blow for the free flow of information. Maybe, but Google has enough corporate wisdom to recognize that no one will ever get that genie back in the lamp anyway. The Chinese government is indisputably the world's greatest hacker, but the country still is saturated with the information the government's trying to stop. The Obama administration is siding carefully with Google by lodging a formal complaint about the hacking of email to and from everyone in the world who's trying to bring free speech to China. But everyone knows the Chinese government can't be pushed on anything if you call it civil rights. Instead, you have to call it money. Whatever Google does will be based on economics. The company might lose in the short term by folding its tent in China, but without Google, China will lose in the long run. It can't just keep doing business with the rest of the world without a fully functional internet. Talk about too big to fail. There's a lesson in U.S. history for China and all the other governments that are trying to squash dissent electronically. In its own peculiar quasi-democratic way, the U.S. government is just as autocratic as any dictatorship. But in the U.S., corporate capitalism is the government, and the capitalists knew from the start they have nothing to fear from free speech. Let the people say whatever they want, just like Republicans on a filibuster. Eventually, they'll get tired and shut up. Then you can just keep on making money any way you want. That principle is at work right now in the healthcare debate. China is not likely to back down publicly and allow Google to just start operating freely. Face must be saved in Asia, but bets must be hedged in the West. Somewhere in the near future, quietly, the Chinese government will be looking the other way while its citizens are Googling to their heart's content. The secret to controlling the masses isn't in controlling information. It's in controlling money. As long as the middle class rests comfortably in the middle, there'll be no revolution. That's just as true in China as it is in the U.S. That's it for Local Views this week. This is Mark Stannert reminding you, this commentary doesn't necessarily speak of revolution on behalf of KVMR, its management staff or contributors. Email mark@paloki.com.